The Sunday school class of Brother O.L. Dunaway follows.
I've been asked to take charge of the Sunday school class this morning. And those of you who use the books that have gotten out in Arkansas, the subject for July the 19th is the judgment. I'd like to ask what is a wise exemption against several different ideas of judgment. What judgment are we most interested in? Somebody answer that. Hold your hands up and I'll call on you. What judgment? All right, Blair.
Judgment seat of Christ.
What?
The judgment seat of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ. That's the one that we are interested in. We shall all who? The church, not the world. And, of course, all of you know that the world at large believes that everybody who has ever died will be resurrected. And they quote the one that has just been quoted. We shall all. But if you study the first part of that letter of Paul to the Corinthians, he's writing to the church and not to the world. We shall all who? All the church. All that are put on Christ. All that are amenable to judgment. Shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now that seems to me is just simple enough for anybody to understand. Now, I'm going to read, if you have your Bibles, open them to Romans, 2nd chapter, and I believe it's down to the 16th verse. There's something there that I think is very appropriate for us at this time. Therefore, starts out in the 2nd chapter of Romans. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelations and the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, and I put in the word there, God will render eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many of the sinned without law shall perish without law, and many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now if you'll just skip down to the 16th verse, you'll see when that's to take place. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. As a parenthesis there, starting with the 13th verse. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be judged. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts them meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Now you see that parenthesis closes there. And if you read up above and skip down to the 16th verse, you'll find when this is all to take place. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, in discussing this subject this morning, the judgment, there are many phases, as Brother William brings out in World Redemption. The meaning of judgment has various meanings, but the one that we're considered especially interested in this morning is a judgment in which we are to stand before the judge of all the earth and give an account of things that we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, we're told in in Acts 17:31. I wonder if anybody can quote that without looking at your Bible. Acts 17:31. All right, Captain Blair.
God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead.
When I stood on Mars Hill, where Paul stood when he made this statement, I got the thrill of my life. I don't know that I ever have been so thrilled as I was. When we went to Athens, we went up on Mars Hill, and you remember Paul made this statement upon Mars Hill. He'd been talking to the people, and he said, "Call those Athenians, you can't worship God with things that you make with your hands. God isn't worshipped with things that you can make with your hands." All along the streets of Athens, Paul saw the God of thunder, the God of harvest, and the God of this and the God of that. And then he saw the inscription to the unknown God, and he took his cue from that. And he began to tell these people that they couldn't worship these gods and make with their hands. And he said, God has appointed a day. Now you didn't appoint it. You didn't, and I didn't. But God has appointed a day in the which he will rule or judge the world in righteousness by that man. Notice he didn't say by God the Son. He said by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he's raised him from the dead. Now, if you can find who God raised from the dead, you can find who's going to rule this world in righteousness. Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, and you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God ever raised anybody from the dead except Christ. I told a person that one time. He said, you're just as wrong as you can be. I said, well, show me where I'm wrong. Well, he said, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and I said, yes, and who raised him? I said, God didn't raise him. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You just find anybody that God ever raised from the dead except Christ. Now, he raised him from the dead to rule this world in righteousness. I stood right where Paul stood when he made that statement. And I tell you, my friend, in teaching the truth, if you can quote that one passage, just that one passage, you can sometimes get people to think. Does the world need somebody to rule it in righteousness? Ask anybody on the street if you think this world needs somebody to rule it in righteousness. Well, they say there certainly is something wrong. And I said, God's going to right that wrong, and he's going to send Jesus Christ back here to rule the world in righteousness. And when he comes back to Jerusalem again, and from Jerusalem the law goes forth to govern the nations upon earth. Now, the judgment is going to decide whether whether I'm going to be among the rulers that's to rule with Christ here upon the earth. This judgment, brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, this judgment is coming. I think it's right upon us. I don't know whether you agree with me on this or not, but before God comes down against my people Israel, I think the judgment's going to be over. And if that is the correct interpretation, The judgment could take place today. The judgment could take place anytime. Because God sends Jesus Christ for his saints, and then Christ comes with his saints. The saints are to be gathered to judgment. That's the first coming, to gather them to judgment. The second coming is when he comes up to take Jerusalem and to rule the world in righteousness. And if that is a proper interpretation, I believe it is, then, as I see it, the judgment can take place anytime now. Anytime. Honest Bible School is to help people who are interested in the judgment, or whether you're going to be at the judgment or not. And I wish this morning. Now, there are some passages in the Bible that people take to quote, that they quote it to prove everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They quote, one I quoted a while ago, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In the book of Romans, that same is quoted. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 is quoted, and they quote that to show that everybody is going to stand at the judgment. And then, in the 5th chapter of John, if I can get about 8 or 10 of the younger people in the audience, or older as far as that matters, if I can get them to come up here on the stage, I want to demonstrate John 5:25 and 5:28. How many will volunteer to come up here and help me on this? I can... all right, see some hands. Come, many of you young people that will come, why, come ahead and help me. I want to make this so plain that anybody can understand it. This is quoted over and over. The great commentators over the radio. I don't know whether you hear Herbert Armstrong or not, but he's out here at Pasadena and he covers the world almost. Now we need about seven or eight. Here comes some more boys. I thank you, boys. If you'll see me after this, I'll give you all ice cream cones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come ahead. There's a girl in most of my cream. Now I need two more. I need two more. All right. Come ahead. There's two more that last night. Well, that's all right. I want you all to open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles. And it's going to take a little time for this. I want you to open your Bibles now at the 5th chapter of John. This is the one chapter where all preachers, everybody quotes by John 5:25 and 5:28 and 9 to prove universal resurrection. Now I want you to watch carefully and see if you don't understand what this passage teaches. Now I thought this when I believed in universal resurrection. I held on to this to the very last until I was just beaten down by the truth. Now let's see what Jesus is talking about. I'm going to, you move down a little further. I want this over here now in a minute. Just a little bit. It won't make a difference how you stand. Now, you remember Paul in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? He says, one man, Adam, brought death. Another man, Adam, the second, brought life. Now, the people in Adam, he said, all died. By the disobedience of one man, death passed upon all men. Now we're going to represent this group in Adam. If they're in Adam, they're dead. In what sense? Death has passed upon them. They're dead in that sense. They're walking around. Going to eat some ice cream directly. they're here in Adam. They're represented as dead. Now look carefully at the verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. Jesus is the preacher. Now is. When the dead, that's this group now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now I'm going to take it to seven of these people. Hurry, they just move over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That leaves a few in Adam. But these heard, and they that hear shall live. Now the fact that they're going to live indicates that they've got connected with the life giver. Isn't that clear enough? Do you all see that? Now, let's go to the verse where they quote to prove universal resurrection. Now skip down to the 28th verse. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all who heard in Adam. Don't you see who it is? The hour is coming and now is when, in which all that heard over here and moved over, they're going to live. Do you all see that? Now that's plain enough to me. It's just as plain as anything can be. Now I want you to notice, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave, not their grave. Herbert Armstrong kept quoting that their grave, and I said, please quote the scripture right. All that's in the grave, and the grave means memorial grave. They're graves in which God's dead people live. Do you see that? Now, don't take my word for it. Look up on any analyst or concordance, and you'll find the grave is the memorial grave. The memorial graves are the graves in which God's dead people are. Now, what about these in the memorial grave? They come forth. I want you to notice, this is very important in understanding this subject. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Now we're going to move these over. To the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Do you see? In Christ, there are two classes of people. They that have done good, they that have done evil. Those in Adam remain in the death state. Is that clear to all of you? Do you see that? Now that's the passage that you're going to have to fight. And that's the reason I wanted to demonstrate it here on this stage this morning, to show you. Now, let's take other passages of Scripture. We shall all who? All in Christ. In Adam, they perish. All in Christ now. Notice what happens. They come forth to the resurrection of life or to the resurrection of condemnation. That's the group in Christ. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Five were wise, and five were foolish. Those are the people in Christ. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Here's a group that sow to the flesh. Here's a group that sow to the Spirit. But they're all in Christ. Paul's writing to the church in Galatia. He says, be not deceived, brethren. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, now he's talking to the man in Christ. He's not talking to the world. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Is that plain? Now you take the faithful and the unfaithful in Christ. Now we're just leaving these over here. What happened to them? They die in Adam, they perish. That's the last of them. But the people in Christ have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of things that you've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, is there any questions on that? Anybody have any question that you want to ask? I hope I've made that clear. Is there anybody that does not understand it?
If it's so clear, then I don't think there's anybody could misunderstand.
How's that?
If it's so clear, I don't think that anyone here could misunderstand.
Brother Kuhlmeier wants to know about the girls. I'm going to give Winnie this dollar to buy the ice cream. I think that'll... Boy, don't forget now who came up here. Don't any of you fellas out there now wouldn't come. Winnie, you seem to all get ice cream with you. I thank you for helping me out on this. Oh, no. The body of believers is the church. The body of the believers is the church. Now, I don't know whether I'm conducting this judgment seat right or not this morning, but I wanted to illustrate that by a group of people. I think you can see the thing that I'm talking about. The people in Christ are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of things that we've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Brothers and sisters, you remember, if you're an overcomer, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. I tried to visualize standing before the judgment seat. We're represented as our names written in the book of life. Did you ever stop to analyze your own feelings? If the judge of all the earth that will do right, if you're an overcomer, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. I need a blackboard here this morning to have your name, but use your imagination this morning and try to figure out what it would mean to hear the judge say, "I don't approve of what you've done. You shall go away into everlasting punishment." What is that everlasting punishment?
It's a punishment that lasts forever.
That's a last forever. And the wages of sin is what?
Death,
and it lasts forever. It doesn't say everlasting punishing. You notice how it reads. It doesn't say everlasting punishing, but everlasting punishment. These are the people who do not stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have a favorable report. If you're an overcomer, you'll walk in white. I'll be clothed with immortality. I'll be clothed upon with your house, which is from heaven. What is that house from heaven? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. This mortal puts on immortality.
Robe of righteousness.
Robe of righteousness is correct. Supposing Brother Williams and myself here, I go into the death state. He's living. When Christ comes, now let's see what takes place. Those that go into the death state go back to corruption and they come out incorruptible. He's living. He's mortal. I come up out of the death state and I say to Brother Williams, "We've got to go to judgment today." And at the judgment, this mortal puts on immortality, the one that goes back to corruption. This corruptible puts on incorruption, which is the same as this mortality, mortal putting on immortality. But we both can say, "Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, I tell you, brethren, the more I think about the judgment, the more I think about standing before the judge of all the earth. He won't judge after the seeing of his eye or with hearing of his ear, but with righteousness. He'll judge righteously. And what you've done and what I've done are the things that we've got to answer for. If we're an overcomer, we'll be power over the nation to rule them with a rod of iron. That doesn't mean a rod is going to beat them over the head, but they're going to be ruled in righteousness and execute judgment and justice in the earth. Here's where the trouble is, and here's where God is going to remedy the trouble by sending Jesus Christ back. First, to judge the household. Second, to use the household as a means of helping Christ rule and reign here upon the earth. Are there any questions? Or anybody want to say anything? I don't want to do all the talking. Time is jelly up anyway. All right. Come up on the stage if you want to speak.
No. If he comes to judge the people and then the saints who are to rule with him, I'm asking this for the benefit of the hearers. Over whom is he going to rule?
Good question.
Since those who are not in Christ are not to be raised, over whom are they going to rule?
Good question. Now let me answer it. The time came when the saints possessed the kingdom, and the kingdom, and the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under, not in heaven, but under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion, there's the ones who's going to be ruled over, all dominion shall serve and obey him. Does that answer the question? Now there'll be nations here that need to be ruled. When Christ comes back, chooses Jerusalem again, Jerusalem becomes the city of the great king, and the law goes forth from Jerusalem to do what? To govern the nations upon earth. Now the nations upon earth are the ones that the saints are going to rule over. Some over 5 cities, some over 10 cities. And I've wondered lots of times if I'm fortunate enough to be one of the rulers where I'll be stationed. I'd like to be stationed in Conway, my hometown, because there's so many people there that think I'm a reprobate. Why, they say that man Dunaway thinks if a man dies, he's just dead. He don't know anything. Well, that man Dunaway, all right, let's hear it.
Brother Dunaway, since the Lord said to the Jew, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when ye see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, and ye yourselves cast out. Now that he's going to come to rule over the nations, this is a question for the benefit of others too, incidentally for myself. I want to get your opinion. Will the Jew as a nation be raised from the dead since Abraham?
Under the law, they made sacrifices. All those sacrifices pointed to Christ. Will you agree on that? All right. There's lots of people that understood what it's for, and there's a lot of people that didn't know anything about it. They're just simply, well, it was a routine thing. Now, those people that did not see and understand what it meant, I don't think they'll get resurrection. And those who did understand will get a resurrection. Now, that's just my first opinion, but Brother Smith, do you want to say something? Speak out loud.
A person that the Jew outwardly, if he is going to be raised and judged.
Well, we're Jews inwardly now, and I think we might...
Well, I was speaking of the Israelites.
I understand. You're talking about the Israelites. Well, I've thought about that a great deal, whether all the Jews would be resurrected or not. They were under the law. All right, Blair.
I was reading one Brother Robert Roberts' books recently, and he makes it very clear that only the Jew who could see Christ in his sacrifice, who understood why he was doing the sacrifice, would be amenable to the resurrection.
Well, that's exactly my idea, Blair, and I don't know where I got it, but I can't understand how a Jew that was just making these sacrifices, he didn't see anything in it at all. He didn't know what it was all about. He's doing it just because somebody maybe told him to do it. But if he saw in this sacrifice, pointing forward to the real sacrifice, which is Christ, Now, you remember that the law was this. Now, those who did not understand what they were doing, the schoolmaster didn't amount to much. He didn't amount to anything.
Well, the Lord said, Abraham saw my day.
So, yes, he saw my day, and he rejoiced to see
even,
my day.
Even
and was
Noah blessed. Saw my day.
How's that?
Noah.
Yeah, yes, they're men of righteousness. What is it that makes a man righteous? It's doing what God tells him to do. Noah did what God told him to do. Thus did Noah. And he was righteous in his day. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him to righteousness. And it's not only for Abraham's sake that it was counted to him for righteousness, but to us also. Well, there's so many things that... All right.
By the way, for the benefit of some of the younger ones here, what does it mean that God is not mocked?
God is not mocked. In other words... I've had people to say, oh, don't quote that old Bible to me. Don't quote that to me. Now, God isn't mocked. They can't say there's nothing to it and it amounts to anything. There's many people going to say, where's the promise of his coming? Well, where's the promise of his coming? You can't mock God. You've got to believe his word. And if you don't believe his word, you're mocking him in a sense. That may not be what you had in mind, Brother Walter, but if you have something else, give it to us.
Well, it wasn't my question.
I see. Well?
God is not the God of confusion.
Not the God of confusion. Do we have any confusion in the world? Well, to ask that question is to answer it.
What you said gives more emphasis to man that is an honor and understandeth not.
Yes, the man that's in honor. Somebody asked me what's going to become of Stalin. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perished. I was talking to a fellow about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting down in the kingdom of God. Why, he said, man, don't you know that the kingdom of God's right in here? He beat upon his stomach and said, don't you know that the kingdom of God is right in here? I said, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sits down in there, don't you think it's going to be a little crowded? Sometimes you've got to answer a fool according to his father. There are so many different ideas. But brethren and sisters, let me say to you, I fought the Christadelphian doctrine for 7 long years, and I fought it with all the vim that I had. And the more I fought, the less ammunition I had. And I ought to tell you, there's no question in my mind at all, but what we, as a little group, a sect everywhere spoken against, as it were in apostolic days, there's no question in my mind about it that we are the people that have the truth. No question in my mind at all, and there never has been since I understood it. And I've spent now over 50 years trying to help people to see what I see. But when I would do good, lots of time evil is present with me. I want somebody to come to elect. Oh, we have a card party this afternoon, and I just can't get off. Oh, the trouble that's going on in the world, and nobody seems to know the remedy. I want to say that we as a people do believe that we understand and see what the remedy is. It's for Christ to come back and rule the world in righteousness. The days of these kings of the Torah period, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. It shall never be left to other people. It's to break in pieces the kingdoms of men, and it's to stand forever. And I've told my friends at home, if you just get one verse in your mind, you'll understand why the UN conference, the League of Nations, why they all failed. When the League of Nations failed 30 years ago, I said, the reason it failed is because God says it will fail. Well, they say, where does it say it? In Psalms 33:10. You get it and look it up. you'll find exactly why they're failing in all of these efforts that man put forth, and they're going to keep failing and failing until Christ comes back and relieves the situation. Brother Smith, will you read Psalm 33:10 out loud? I want them all to have it. And if you'll get that verse in your mind and quote it to people, the reason that there's not being anything done about peace.
The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect.
The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen. That's a nation. He brings it to naught. The League of Nations was a device of men. The UN conference is a device of man. All the efforts of man are going to fail. It's going to fail. And the reason it's going to fail is because God's word says it's going to fail.
How about the next verse there?
I'll read the next one, Charles. I don't remember what it is.
The counsel of the Lord standeth forever.
Ah, that is. The counsel of the Lord. What is the counsel of the Lord? The counsel of the Lord is that he's going to establish a righteous government here, and Christ is going to rule the world in righteousness. That's the counsel of the Lord, and it stands firm. Thank you for suggesting that, Charles. I expect the time is
blessed. Blessed is the nation
whose God is the Lord.
That's good.
But God isn't considered. I notice that our congressman is trying to have a little prayer room in Washington. I don't know how many will attend. But of all the praying for peace, it's not going to amount to anything. Yes? No. Well, some of them didn't want it. Make somebody mad. Well, there'll be a lot more said about that before the box goes over. So we're going to close this meeting now, and the time is up, I believe, and I'll turn back to Brother Kuhlmeier.